it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning, 97.1. That's more like it. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Dustin Fioco on the updates, and a nice long highlight montage as the Lions put a 50-burger up on Ben Johnson.
Yep, nice long montage. Everything you said, plus today we get the locker room speech by Dan Campbell, which we have so welcome and so much come to enjoy. It just was a thing of beauty yesterday. Absolutely beautiful.
It's only fitting that a week ago we came in and said, boy, that was terrible. What was the worst part? That we flipped the script this morning. John, what was the best part? Because you have no shortage of things to pull from. And I imagine over the course of 4 hours, TJ Lang will join us for the last one, that will hit all of it. But where do you want to start?
So I'll start with where my eyes always go. And a huge question mark. And not everything, when we say this, not every single problem is solved. It wasn't a perfect game. Just like last week, it's never as bad. When you watch the film, this week, it's never as good. But the offensive line. No sacks, and they rushed for over 177 yards. That, to me, was more of what we expect. And here's what they have to do. It is taken with a grain of salt because it's at home. What did we say? Communication would be much easier at home. Didn't appear that there were more missed assignments, or at least not ones that were glaringly visible. There's still going to be some. You get young players in there. Even vets are going to, you know, mess up every once in a while. But we'll get a chance to see what they learned from that first trip to Green Bay and then following it next week with a trip on Monday night to Baltimore. We'll talk about that the rest of the week, but I thought the offensive line, especially not necessarily that first drive. I know that there were some successful runs, but when they got to the end of the first quarter, second quarter, certainly in the third, you started to see some of those double teams. You started to see more push. You just saw an offensive line that felt like it was gelling. And they were passing off games in the passing attack. Still a little bit of pressure. They gave up no sacks, but there were still some pressures. And that's going to happen every once in a while. But I thought Jared Goff handled it well. But the best thing for me, the most beautiful thing for me, was the way that offensive line played.
The best part of that game is that it reinforced whose offense this is. I think there was some fear after week one, and with him in the building in week two, it could have been an easy storyline of, well, Ben Johnson stole all the good plays.
No. Nope.
And the truth is,
John
Morton's offense, Dan Campbell's offense, John.
But he's not the coordinator. He's not the one calling plays. What are you talking about?
But what I really liked, it's funny, you go to the offensive line, it's where it all starts. Jared Goff is the headline, but you don't get that Goff game unless you protect him. He was sacked zero times. He had five touchdowns and five incompletions. Think about it. You have as many touchdowns as incomplete passes.
Yep.
And that's what this football team's got to be. They worked backwards to get the run game going. They started with hard play action. And listen to Dan Campbell a little bit before the game. That's what he said. He goes, we've got to get the run game going at some point. But if they're going to stack the box or if they're going to run commit, you know, we're not going to be stubborn about it. And I think that's what a great offense is they're balanced. They threw, they ran, they did whatever they needed to do, but they got where they needed a little backwards. They started throwing, and then it softened the run game up, but they were able to get where they wanted all game long and drop 50 points.
And in that same, I don't know if it was the same answer that he was giving. It might have been another one. I was listening in pregame as well because I was on the way to pick up Jack from practice, and he said, you know, thinking about Dennis Allen's defense, there's a lot of man. First down, second down, third down, they will sprinkle in some zone, and when they do, we've got to be able to hit it. The second pass for J-Mo, zone coverage, and all of a sudden, he's coming across the middle, and there's no one there, and they had him covered by a linebacker. That, to me, is a great example of how smart, or at least how experienced, Jared Goff is. to be able to recognize it. And that's the thing about that at that level in the NFL. It always comes down to one or two mistakes. Now there's more in this game for the Bears, and there's more big plays for the Lions, but you've got to capitalize on some of those quote unquote mistakes. And if you're going to gamble defensively, bring some guys. And if you're going to be in man, okay, well, hey, do we have the fastest guy on somebody else? Okay, let's see if we can take a shot downfield. They did in a zone. Like, if you've got a linebacker that's carrying him across the middle, he can't stay with J-Mo. You have to have a quarterback that recognizes it after the snap, because they did a great job of disguising some of their coverages. Once he recognizes it, you could almost see it on his face. Like, he knew exactly where he was going to go with the ball and that it was going to be a big play.
Their offense fired on all cylinders, right? Both backs get in the end zone. St. Brown gets in the end zone. J-Mo gets in the end zone. They threw it to a tight end in the end zone this time, Brock Wright. Everybody ate on this offense. I mean, you score 52 points, of course, everybody's going to get involved. But it just shows they're a balanced offense. They can take what the defense gives them. That was a throwback game. That was a game from 2023 and 2024. That was a game you could have told me Ben Johnson was still calling the plays, which I think is a huge relief to people who were panicking after week one.
Well, and it's here's where you think, okay, well, this is the creativity is still there when you hand the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown in the backfield. Like, we didn't see that last year. We saw it 2 years ago, and we thought, oh, you know, they're gonna use him in a lot of different ways. I like seeing wrinkles like that. Now, you're not gonna hand the ball to Amon. He's not gonna be a part of the running backs group.
No.
But every once in a while, here you go.
Second drive of the game. They had the big pass play to St. Brown down to the one, mm-hmm. and then Montgomery finished it. If people go back and look on that long play to St. Brown, great job by Graham Glasgow and Tate Ratledge sharing and shedding in the pass pro.
Yeah, hand and off twist.
Yes, and then the very next play, they're at the goal line, and those two get a nice push up front. And again, you're not trying to create 4 yards at the goal line, but they got a whole yard and a half, which is all David Montgomery needed to get in the end zone. It was just back-to-back plays of interior offensive line play looking so much better in both pass and run. Then you're up, you know, 14-7. The other play in the first half to me was right before the end of the half, where the Bears are walking into the locker room thinking, we got away with one, only to have time put back on the clock,
yeah,
and the Lions go up 2 touchdowns. And from there, they did not look back. It got ugly.
It did, and I know everybody was looking for ways to jump on Ben Johnson, but for him to send his guys to the locker room, which is kind of a great move.
Yeah, he goes, hey, the refs told me end of half.
Yeah, go to the locker room. But then to have to bring your guys back out, and then they show it on the big screen where everybody is saying, hey, come on back.
Apparently Jahmyr Gibbs was like miming like a lasso and like trying to reel them in tug of war style.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, the Lions had a great day. They got after it. We've hit the offense, but there's a lot that we haven't even talked about. Both safeties force turnovers. Mm-hmm. They had 4 stops, including a couple on downs as a team. Aiden Hutchinson gets his first sack. Marcus Davenport, while he was healthy, recorded a sack in the game. They had 4 from that front.
And Isaac Tesla, I think he just is of the belief that he only needs one hand.
We got to ask Dan if he's allowed to use 2.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be even more dangerous once he starts using both hands.
So last week, I didn't see it this morning, when they did, you know, the top 10, he was number 1 with that touchdown against Green Bay. Now, it kind of was a little bit overshadowed by the fact that they stunk in that game. I wonder if he's number 1 2 weeks in a row. Because that was an unbelievable catch.
I think last week's might have been better.
Well, because it was a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think that's what he said after the game. He goes, it's hard to compare him, but the one that's a touchdown, I'm always going to put ahead. Mm-hmm. A couple ticket texts, then we'll get to the phone calls today.
And it
today.
Was his first.
And, yeah.
Never forget that one.
Ticket textures. Guys, we scored 52, and I walked away thinking we could have had 60. Yep. It says, these young guys got to see what it looks like when you play to the standard. That's huge. to see how much better we've gotten in just a couple weeks' time, and we're going to find out even more when they head to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Great example of why not to overreact, guys. All the talking heads overreacted, with the exception of the one guy who actually played sports.
Well, it's, you get a chance to get better.
What, am I being accused of overreacting? Is that what that ticket text is saying?
I mean, you have
cancel the season?
You have an entire segment
that's fair
dedicated to it. So
we'll do that at 7:02. And how about this one? The best part, Underwood for Heisman, the bad, Davenport hurt again. By the way, we're not going to spend any time on Michigan today because the Lions win, but I'm just really proud of you guys saving all your good plays for your toughest non-con opponent. Really good stuff.
I kind of figured you were going to say that, and no, you know what? Yeah, thank you. I don't really feel like I need to comment too much on that. It's just, hey, when it's not there, go ahead and run it, which he did.
Or they learned from the mistakes of holding the playbook back, which Biff Poggi admitted to in the postgame.
He sure did. And he called him...
Batman? I know. I can't wait to interview him later today. I am going to ask him what his favorite superhero is.
It's a natural follow-up. All right, guys. Best part of the Lions win. It's a much-needed flip of the script from last week. It's 97-1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.